As we hear the word of the Lord, we're in Luke chapter 17. If you've seen online, or if you've gone online, those of you who are here, you'll see that this season of Pentecost has, I've titled it, Jesus, Our Map of Salvation, because we're following Jesus along as he has resolutely, determinedly set his face towards Jerusalem and has moved from his hometown area, Capernaum, the Sea of Galilee, down south to the villages around Jerusalem and that southern area, and all the people are coming to him to hear about the kingdom of God, the establishment of that kingdom through Jesus, who is the Messiah. And crowds are following Jesus around until finally here we'll get to him entering Jerusalem, and we know what happens then. That final week of his life where he lays it down, his life, as the sacrificial lamb to shed his blood for our salvation, only to be given that life back by his Father to reign then one day in his ascension for us now unto eternity in glory. All of that's yet to come. Now, we're moving around with Jesus on these roads, these dusty roads, and we're entering villages with him, and we're hearing him speak. Now, you know that the roads around Jerusalem in the Holy Land, back when Jesus lived, most of them were just kind of paths, maybe a cart path, a room enough for a donkey to travel and for people to walk on. And, of course, they weren't paved. They were kind of like the trails maybe on the Appalachian Trail. They were rocky, and they were rooted. And you had to be careful where you were going. Most of the time, you were having to look down so that you wouldn't stumble and fall. Sometimes, when the path was clear, you could look around a little bit and see where you were going. But most of the time, you were really focused so that you wouldn't trip and fall. Jesus gives to us today teachings about the kingdom that prepare us for life, for our journey of faith. Sometimes that journey of faith, we're called to be really focused on and to know what's around us that we won't stumble and fall. Other times, that journey of faith allows us to look around and see the big picture. We're called on this journey of faith through Jesus to know him as Savior and Lord. And he speaks to us today. Jesus said to his disciples in verse 1, Luke begins this opportunity of Jesus to speak. He says to his disciples, now, disciples are those who have been convinced in their faith. So a work of the Holy Spirit that's at work in a person to follow Jesus as their master, their Lord. Or the Hebrew Greek word would be rabbi, rabboni, the one whose teachings they're convinced of is true, and particularly whose teachings point in the direction of an everlasting eternal kingdom. And so Jesus turns to his disciples, the 12, certainly, but there's a broader context that Jesus is speaking to as well. It's all of those people from the towns and villages that he's gone through who are convinced that Jesus is the one, the Messiah, to establish the kingdom of God as promised. And Jesus turns to them and he speaks. As he's speaking to us, his followers that know the nudging of the Holy Spirit, the call of faith, who know that work within us of the kingdom that's been established in our hearts. We who know the mercy of our Heavenly Father, been refreshed in that again today through the gift of his Son, and as the Spirit is working and speaking through the Word now, we eagerly digest this Word that Jesus is saying. We're followers of his. We long for, by faith, for the kingdom to be established within us. We want that kingdom to be delivered from our lives out into the world as his ambassadors, his messengers of the good news. And we know that good news is ours because of Jesus, who's claimed us to be his own. And so he's speaking to us. He says, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. He's not just talking about the rocks and the roots that they would have been encountering on their paths following Jesus. Yesterday, we were out working in the yard a little bit, and I asked Sam to go get something for me, and one of those roots of the trees just jumped up and got him, and down he went on the ground. He was okay. We made sure he was okay, but you know what that's like. When things in this life are bound to come that trip us up, not just roots of trees, rocks in the path, but issues of life. Sometimes those are delivered to us by others. Sometimes they are of our own doing, but these things challenge our faith. And these things are opportunities for us to care for one another when these things happen, to bring each other into the embrace of a fellowship, of a word of encouragement. What can I do for you? Do you need anything? Much what we know and experience in the body of Christ. It also is the opportunity to care for one another in forgiveness. Once in a while, Sam and I, when we're moving around the house, we'll get our feet tangled. And he causes me to stumble, and I have to catch myself, or I'll cause him to stumble. It's an opportunity for us to say, hey, I'm sorry, didn't mean that. Are you okay? Okay, now let's go on with life. The opportunity to care for one another in the forgiveness of our sins. And Jesus speaks to us about this because he knows this is what happens and goes on in life. But, he warns, woe to anyone through whom they come. Now it sounds, in our English vernacular, like Jesus is saying, when you get your feet tangled up with one another, when you trip up in life sometimes, woe to whom they come. That person's condemned and doomed. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying here is an intentionality behind causing somebody to stumble or fall. When we intentionally set a trap that causes someone to sin, when we intentionally go against the word of the Lord that allows somebody to stumble in their faith, when somebody is in jeopardy of not hearing the good news of salvation in Jesus, or is in jeopardy of losing that good news in their life. This is what Jesus is saying. Woe to you. Watch out. Be careful that your life and your living, your words and your attitudes, and how you're treating one another doesn't cause somebody intentionally to stumble and fall. And he gives a warning with that, doesn't he? He says, it would be better for that person to have a millstone tied around their neck and for them to be cast into the sea. What a terrible way to face condemnation for sinfulness. And this is the picture that Jesus gives. It would be better for somebody to suffer in that manner than for us to intentionally cause somebody to stumble and fall in their faith. Wow. And this is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. Be careful in your walking, your following, in your living as my disciples. My purpose for you is to declare the good news of what you know in me, in your life and living, not to cause somebody else to stumble. And thankfully, this one who speaks these words to us today, he is the one who takes the plunge for us. Our sinfulness, our failures, when someone stumbles in their faith because of something I've said or done, Jesus takes that sinfulness upon himself, and like a weight, he plunges into the depths of death and suffering for you, and for me, for us. He takes that upon himself because our Heavenly Father loves us. He cares for us, and he wants us to be a member of his kingdom and share that message in our life and living of who we are as God's people. Not to plunge into the depths of condemnation, but to be alive. To be alive and made new in the work of Jesus. Paul would say this to Timothy. He has saved us and he's called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This is your Father's love for you given in your Savior and mine, Jesus? Because he loves us and wants us to know that grace, and for our grace, for his grace, to mark our lives and our daily living. He has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that declares all who know him freed from sin, forgiven, and not only forgiven, but in Jesus raised to new life. The old is gone, the new has come, and we are new creations in Christ Jesus. The good news that marks our life and living. Jesus, who speaks these words and then fulfills them in his own death and resurrection for you and me. So, this is why Jesus can say, as he's giving us this teaching today, his map of salvation, so be on your guard. Be on your guard. I think some of the people that we know best in life who are standing a post are these sentries of the Windsor Castle in England. You know these guys, as you see in the picture. They are undistracted from anything that comes their way. And you can see on YouTube videos, you probably have seen them or other ways, where people will come up and, you know, they'll intentionally kind of distract them, try to move them from their post, try to have them react in a way that is outside of their calling. I think about these sentries as we hear these words of Jesus, so be on your guard. Let nothing distract you. Take you away from your holy calling. Let nothing bother you that would cause you or somebody else to stumble. Keep on the path in your holy calling. And Jesus defines that for us as he goes on in this section, chapter 17, verses 1 through 3 right now. But he goes on in verses 3 and 4. So forgive those who repent. If somebody comes to you 7 times in a day and asks for forgiveness, forgive them every time. This is your holy calling in me. Not to be distracted by your emotions or how you're feeling towards this person. Maybe even how you've been wronged. But if they repent, share that good news. I forgive you in the name of Jesus. And so we come together again. Where he can say that he calls us to live our faith as an encouragement to others. You know what the disciples said. Lord, increase our faith. You have enough. You don't need any more. If you're a follower of mine, you are part of my kingdom. You believe in me as Savior and Lord. That's sufficient. You can say to a mulberry tree, mulberry trees have huge root systems. Jesus says you can have faith as small as a mustard seed and say to that mulberry tree, be cast into the sea. Well, why would a mulberry tree be planted in the ocean, in the sea, where there's salt? It'll die. And yet Jesus says you have that, but you have enough. It's sufficient what you have. And so when we face trials, roots in the road, rocks in our paths that would cause us to stumble, what you possess as a child of God, a member of the kingdom, a person of faith in Jesus Christ, that faith is sufficient. It's enough. And if somebody says to you or me, well, if only you had more faith, then this wouldn't happen. That's an opportunity for us to say, you are causing me to stumble. I rebuke you. Repent of that. Because faith that we've been given is enough. It's sufficient for what we need to face. I hope you're encouraged in that word of Jesus today. Because we live in a world that always questions, do we need more? I should have more. I want more. And when it comes to faith, we have all that we need for our salvation and to face the struggles, the trials, the stumbles of the day. Be encouraged in that. And be encouraged, as Jesus says in verses 7 to 10, rejoice in your service. You're plowing the field, and you're called into the task of serving. Serve with joy and gladness as unto the Lord. This is simply my duty. As Jesus has called me into his kingdom and to serve him with gladness and joy, this is the joy of my living, my duty. And I rejoice in what he's called me to do. And so, unto the Lord, we serve. These last three sections of what Jesus summarized to his disciples as he was teaching them and calling them along the road to walk in his ways, with rocks and roots and opportunities to stumble, but to care for each other and lift each other up and move forward together in the Lord until one day he's going to call us to be with him in his eternity. No roots, no rocks. In fact, we'll be given the privilege of trotting on a road made of gold. The riches of the kingdom that we can't even fathom and express to be in the presence of the Lord. Until that day, brothers and sisters, shall we walk together as disciples of the Lord Jesus, faithful unto him, encouraging and helping one another, not putting anything in each other's paths to cause someone to stumble, but in the mercy that we know, faithful in Jesus Christ, serving him unto the glory of the Lord, we walk together. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for giving us this holy calling as your people, that you would love us so much that you would allow your own Son to bear that which we deserve, to take that plunge into the depths of our condemnation, that we would be forgiven and set free, and now to hear this holy calling of walking in your ways, in holiness and in purity, in care and love for one another, as servants unto your holy name. Use us well, find us faithful, and bring us home to be with you one day in your glory. And unto your praise we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, may the peace of God that passes our understanding so keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Unto the praise and the glory of Jesus Christ, who loves you and lives in you as we go in his joy and peace. Amen. Amen.